Today, more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and serves as the president of the National Day of Prayer. He believes people change the world, and with his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
Have you ever noticed how sometimes when you get busy, you can learn a lot of lessons? I'm not talking about busyness that is just busyness. I'm talking about productive busyness. I'm talking about those times when you enter seasons of your life that are filled with productivity and filled with blessing upon blessing, marvelous upon marvelous. I've been in some of that season in my life, and I'm so grateful. And we know that all great blessings like that, they come from God and from God alone. The Lord has been opening up so many doors in so many areas of life. Recently, I had the opportunity to host a national radio program, which is aired every day on several hundred stations across America. As I sat in for Tony Perkins of the Washington Watch, I was able to interview at the end of that broadcast, in the longest segment of the broadcast, about the power of prayer and about how movements can literally change cultures. And as I sat down and talked to a dear friend named Bill Eliff, I learned from Bill Eliff, who is a great man and a powerful warrior in prayer. He taught me, and I know that he will teach you, about how movements have literally shaped the culture, not only of our life, but the culture of an entire nation and beyond. I want you to join in to this conversation with us. And I have with me today in the studio Bill Eliff, who is the senior teaching pastor of the Summit Church in North Little Rock. He's also the director of church pastor relations with One Cry, a nationwide call for spiritual awakening. He's authored 10 books, such as One Cry with Byron Pollis and the Present Centered Church. He's a frequent speaker on the nation on prayer and revival, author and leader of the Revival Champions Initiative. In fact, Pastor Bill Eliff and I this evening will cooperatively lead together a prayer gathering for some 300 to 400 spiritual leaders in the state of Arkansas. And so, Pastor Eliff, Pastor Bill, my friend Bill, I want to ask you today, would you just kind of talk to the people on the broadcast today and tell them from what your perspective is of all you see going on around the country, what do you think God is saying to America?
Well, I think, Ronnie, thanks, first of all, for letting me join you here, and congratulations on this opportunity the Lord's giving you. And when I heard that, I knew that that was the right choice. I really believe God's going to use you in that. When you think about what God might be saying, that's a big question. And we better answer that question right. We better turn our hearts to Him and open the Word of God. And, you know, when you look in the Word of God and you see disasters and difficulty and conflict, in the Bible, it's explained to us. And I think if you would take some of these things that we're saying and drop them into the Scripture, how would we explain it? And always, so often on some of these things, it's man doing what man does, and we're pretty depraved. And our nation, you know, take Charlottesville. The reality is, I'm kind of shaking my head. I thought, you know, we should be better than this by now. We've come a long way from the civil rights movement. There are a lot of wonderful people who've worked real hard, but yet we keep regressing back, and it's just the nature of man to do that. And the Lord has something to say about that. That's you know, right. Lord, the Lord hates bigotry and prejudice and all that goes along with that. And he judges that. I mean, he's calling us to come back. And so I think every time I see one of these things happening and difficulties and tragedies happening, I just think God is not silent. Mm. And he's communicating to us, you need me. Mm. And every time you walk away from me, things don't go good. Mm-hmm. And he longs for us. His desire for his world is that we walk in unity and we walk in the light as he is in the light. And when we walk away from that, we begin to feel the effects of that. Mm. And it's a call to us. When we see the results, it's a call to us to cry out to him and return to him.
It really is, Bill. And, you know, this broadcast today on the Washington Watch is really thematically about praying for America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of my friend Tony Perkins, of which I have the privilege to serve on the board of the Family Research Council. I mean, we stand valiantly for faith and family and freedom, and all three of those things are being challenged every day in the American mm-hmm. culture.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, for them to be able to entrust this opportunity for us to just simply pray for this country today.
Mm-hmm.
We've already done it several times on the broadcast. We'll do it again in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you even bring the close to this broadcast doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to ask you, because I think people need to be encouraged in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we are absolutely concerned, praying diligently for everything going on in and around the state of Texas. I have family there. I'm very concerned. Friends, churches I pastored, mm-hmm. people's lives are being turned upside down and some are being lost. And so I'm highly concerned. But our people need to be also encouraged about what God is doing in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that are going on today in the prayer movement of America that's very favorable.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your finger on the pulse of some of that. You've seen the Lord do some pretty remarkable things. And there are so many people that listen to this broadcast every day. I mean, they're people who really, they yearn to have hope mm-hmm. for this country.
Right.
And give them some hope today. Because we believe, you and I believe in the power of prayer. We believe that God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, with anyone.
That's exactly
and so,
right.
So talk to me about that today.
You know, Ronnie, one of the most fascinating things is that last year in 2016, and then leading into this year, I was talking to Dave Butts the other day, who's mm-hmm. the head of the National Prayer Committee. And Dave said to me, Bill, there's no question. He said, we can prove this, that in the last 24 months, there has been more people gathering to pray than in any time in American history.
Mm.
Now, that's pretty phenomenal.
Absolutely.
When you think of it, you see what's happening in our nation, and we get the news every day, mm-hmm. and it's all the dark mm-hmm. stuff.
That's right.
But what that says to me, Ronnie, is there is a huge remnant of praying people.
Amen.
I mean, there are people that when push comes to shove and things get dark, and we make the call and say, let's come gather to pray. Last year, I watched denominational leaders, you did the same thing. We were in meetings together where denominational leaders who had never been together in a room mm-hmm. came together to pray.
That's right.
And gatherings of thousands of people. And I was in gatherings from California all the way to the East Coast and hundreds and thousands of people gathering together to cry out to the Lord.
Yes.
Now, last year was an election year, and
sure.
and that was part of this, that it brought the issues to the forefront of where we are as a nation. But even this year, we are seeing intercessors that are gathering to prayer to pray across the nation, not so much in large events where the whole church is coming to pray, but the intercessors are deepened in their understanding of the need. And Ronnie, I'm just telling you, they're praying. They're praying. Even tonight, we have 300 or 400 pastors and leaders, and for the past 4 years, this movement in Arkansas has just grown.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I heard, this is a gathering of Southern Baptist pastors, and there are about 16 or 17 states that have had gatherings like this in the last 24 months mm-hmm. with hundreds and hundreds of pastors and church leaders. Well, we didn't do this 5 years ago.
That's right.
And I think it's coming out of desperation. And yeah, that's where revival that's right. always comes from.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things about it is, Bill, is that I know you and I believe that that when the Lord so chooses to bring that mm-hmm. next great awakening to this country, the walls of denominations will fall down.
Yeah, that's right.
The walls of between racial tension or ethnic mm-hmm. Tension will be gone.
That's right.
I mean, I'm just telling you, God will bring all of that to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of something I wrote in an article today. My first article as a president of the National Day of Prayer. I'm going to be doing this every week, releasing an article. And in fact, I have another one coming out this Wednesday on nationaldayofprayer.org. And I want to encourage people to get the newsletter because you're going to stay in tune with the prayer movement of America, because mm-hmm. this is not a platform for me. The National Day of Prayer represents America.
That's right.
That's what it is. It belongs to America. But I will never forget, Bill, in 1995, in the midst of a 40-day fast, the Lord really put on my heart, and I wrote these words in a prayer journal, that He was one day going to bring a mighty spiritual revival to America
mm-hmm.
that will transcend all denominational, cultural, racial, and ethnic lines. I believe that with all of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when that will be. I pray it will be in my generation. I pray mm-hmm. that we get to see it. I just know that before the Lord comes again, I really believe He's going to mm-hmm. pour out His glory mm-hmm. and pour out the opportunity mm-hmm. for blessing. Don't you believe that, Bill?
Absolutely. And I did a little study the other day. I was reading about John the Baptist. And if there was ever a precursor to the manifest presence of God, it was John the Baptist.
That's good.
I mean, he was preparing the highway for the clear manifest presence of God, which is what revival is.
That's right.
In spiritual awakening. I discovered, and I challenge the readers to go look at it in the Scripture, there were six or seven things that happened. God gave a word. God rose up some prophets. And a voice. People were desperate. The Bible says all the people from Judea and Jerusalem were coming out to hear John the Baptist.
Right.
And even the Roman soldiers were saying, "What do we do?" And the leaders were saying, "What do we do?" And the people were saying, "What do we do?" How many times have we heard that recently? What do we do in our nation? How do we solve this? That's desperation growing. And then all of a sudden that day came where John looked up and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
That's great.
And the Lord is coming. I believe He's coming in manifest power, and we're going to see it. I pray we'll see it in our lifetime. But it comes on the heels of desperate times. Every great awakening, and we've had, however you determine it, three or four of these every 50 to 60 years in American history. And it has turned the tide of the nation. It's changed the culture. It's transformed lives and institutions. And we're due. We're due.
Yeah, we oftentimes forget in America that our very spiritual heritage was shaped much by the awakenings.
Oh, yeah.
Within the first 100 years of this country, and even before the country was formed.
Absolutely. Mark Knoll, who's a professor at Notre Dame, says that the Second Great Awakening, which lasted for 30 years, 1800 to about 1830, was the single greatest shaping event in American history. Not just in a religious life, but in American history. And after that Great Awakening, thousands of churches were started, schools began, hospitals were opened, all of that. After the 1858 revival, in which one of every 30 people in America came to faith in Jesus Christ.
That's amazing.
Guess what happened 2 years later? Well, the Civil War began, and that great struggle that was a way that God intended, I believe, to finally break the back of slavery in our nation. It came on the heels of the Great Awakening. People don't realize that. So God has things to do, and it happens always in desperate times. And that's exactly where we are. So the desperation that we're seeing and the difficulty we're seeing, in some ways to our listeners, ought to be encouraging.
You can see how gifted Bill Eliph is and what a powerful, powerful story he tells at the end. That evening, Bill and I, for about an 18-hour period of time, in the evening and the next morning, was able to lead 350 pastors in a time of praying about their life, about their church, about the people in their church, about the nation, and about the state in which they serve. As we did that on Tuesday morning, I opened up the session with a brief word of challenge. Again, how movements have changed the culture. Have you all ever heard of the great man Jonathan Edwards? He's one of my heroes. You know, Edwards wrote a little booklet that really got used in a massive way. His book was entitled An Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and the Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth. Now, that's not the book. That's just the title. He was giving us secrets to the awakening in his own manner, humility. Explicit agreement, absolutely complete, clear agreement. Visible union, just like we're doing right now. Public. One of the greatest things evangelical believers need to do is shut their mouth and stop fighting each other. We need to do everything we can to unite. Extraordinary prayer. I got asked that question one time on a panel after I talked about it. They said, what is extraordinary prayer? I said, well, it's more than the ordinary. If your ordinary is 5 minutes, then 10 is extraordinary. If your ordinary is 20, then it might be 40. I don't know, but it's more than you're doing now. That's why it wouldn't take a whole lot for most churches to move into extraordinary prayer. We need to bring prayer back to the church before we want it back in America. For the revival of religion, revival of the church, the movement, and the advancement of Christ's kingdom. Let me tell you why I love Jonathan Edwards. I like Jonathan Edwards because he always linked awakening and revival to the advancement of Christ's kingdom. I'm not into just huddling up, having a little sweetheart time, holding hands and raising your hands and say, ooh, this is good. God's called us here to advance the kingdom of God. That's our role. And so we need to always keep that in any gathering we ever do about prayer. That's the goal. The glory of God being advanced across the world and advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is where it is. Now, can we agree that the church needs revival, huh? I mean, can we agree the nation needs awakening? I mean, surely we can agree on that. And we need to go home and we need to practice extraordinary prayer. That's more than the ordinary, whatever your ordinary is. So the church will see revival and awakening in America so that ultimately we'll reach the world for Christ. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that before Jesus comes again, there will be an explosion of the gospel globally. And I believe that before he comes again, there has to be that in order that Revelation 5 and Revelation 7 is fulfilled. Because in heaven one day, from every tribe, it says, and language and people and nation. And this is why we need to see renewal among the people of God and awakening happen in the nation and beyond. You have one life to live, one shot. Some of you are in the fourth quarter, could be in the final 2 minutes.
And you're going to give your life and you're going to give your ministry to something. You will. Everybody does. Give it to what really matters. You stand in that pulpit on Sunday and you advance the ministry that you're called to lead, whether you're a college pastor or a student pastor or the senior pastor. You give it your all. You don't quit. You don't stop and you don't let hell get in your way. You do all you can where you are to make a difference.
As you can tell, I've given you a lot today, a lot to think about, a lot to pray about. You see, it really doesn't matter whether you're a business leader, a wife that stays at home and takes care of children, or a student at the university. We need to understand that God wants to use us wherever we are in life to be able to become a point of light that absolutely has the power to change the culture. Now, please understand, our goal ultimately is not to change the culture. Our goal is to change lives through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and through the life change that comes to people. Then obviously, when a real movement occurs, the culture, the people, the situations, the circumstances, they automatically begin to change. You have heard me say this statement time and time again. People change the world. God uses people. Why don't you let God use you this week? Let Him use you in ways that you have never imagined before in your life. I hope that you will join me next week on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.